Well, the situation is very serious because basically what we are witnessing is civil war in Ivory Coast, and people are fleeing conflict. And when this happens, basically they flee with nothing, so they're basically running for their lives. And so the needs are huge. People are in need of food, people are in need of shelter, so they basically need everything.
So people there are pretty much resigned to the fact that their country is sliding into full-scale civil war.
I don't think the people are resigned to that fact. I think they still hope that, there will be some kind of solution that would avoid, full-scale civil war. Unfortunately, all the signs at the moment are on the opposite direction, that, we're moving in Ivory Coast to a full-scale civil war.
This is a huge humanitarian crisis, yet it's going largely unreported in the international media, only getting very scarce coverage because of the conflict in Libya and the disaster in Japan. So, I mean, is it just been totally forgotten about?
I'm afraid so. I'm afraid that, the media doesn't seem to have space for a big humanitarian crisis in Ivory Coast. Maybe because there is no oil, or maybe because the other two crises in Libya and Japan have caught all the headlines, and that there seems to be no space. But it is a huge crisis, as you said, and it is very important that we raise the profile to this crisis because people are suffering and in need of help.
And are you getting the funding that this crisis deserves? And are other NGOs saying that they are managing to get the funding, given, as you say, this is a particularly unfortunate period when there's so many international crises going on in our world?
It is very difficult to get the funding, and UN itself is struggling to get the funding. They had an appeal, UNHCR had an appeal, and they are struggling to get, I think they managed to get about 30% of the funding only. So the whole general economic crisis in the world, plus the two big stories that we have at the moment, are making it very difficult to find the funding to respond to it. Gafford, in its little way, has been able to respond and is responding with our own funds.
And what are you doing actually to help on the ground? Can you tell us briefly about that?
Okay, we are basically working with refugees that have fled to Liberia. About 90,000, over 90,000 refugees have crossed the border from Ivory Coast into Liberia. It is, in many ways, a very interesting story because refugees are being welcomed in Liberia by host families, and families are actually receiving them very well. And this has to do with the history of Liberians having fled in the past to Ivory Coast, so there's a bit of a return of favor being done. But these families that are hosting refugees are themselves very poor, and they're running out of food stocks. As you can imagine, the houses are very crowded and in need of shelter. In one of the villages that we are working, it's called Glale, near the border between Liberia and Ivory Coast, the population has more than doubled in the last few weeks. And that has put a huge pressure on these Liberian families that are willing to welcome the refugees. So we are supporting them with food, with seeds, with latrines, so sanitation, access to clean water. So this is what we're doing at the moment.
Now, you say that these families, despite being very poor themselves, are welcoming these refugees, but the leaders of Liberia are already beginning to express doubt if this influx of refugees becomes larger and larger, and they're worried about the impact it could have on their own country, which also has conflict, of course.
I mean, Liberia is a very small country, has a population of about 3 million, and Ivory Coast itself is a huge country compared with a population over 20 million. And certainly there are thresholds where things will become very, very difficult in Liberia. At the moment, the worst case scenario, we think that maybe 250,000 to half a million people could cross the border, and that would be a huge strain for Liberia's government and into the Liberia population. But at the moment, it's still just about manageable.
Now, did you actually get to speak to any of the refugees? And if you did, what did they say? What are their feelings now? Do they nurse any hopes that they can go home sometime soon?
Well, they don't know for how long they'll have to be there. I think, you know, from their experience, from what happened in Liberia, where some of the refugees stayed in Ivory Coast for 10 years, 14 years. I spoke with someone who hosted a Liberian refugee for 14 years in the past. They don't really know how long it's going to be. They obviously hope that they can go back as soon as possible.
And what are the greatest needs of these people, if you had to single out just a few things?
I think medical care, water, sanitation, shelter. You know, Liberia is one of the wettest countries in the world, is the second wettest. And the rainy season will start in a couple of months, and shelter will become very important.
Could more have been done to try to, shall we say, avert this slide into full-scale civil war? I mean, the Ivory Coast was once known as a bastion of peace and stability in Western Africa, and yet now?
Yeah, I mean, the crisis in Ivory Coast is not new. I mean, it's a crisis that's been ongoing for the last 10 years or so, and very little has been done to try to get a solution. I think, and we feel in CAFOD that we still believe that people like the ECOWAS, the West Africa States Economic Community, or even the African Union could have a word and try to mediate the conflict. The internal politics is very complex. It's not as easy as it might sound. And the fact that the country seems to be divided into really is not good. Is not good news. But it is, as you said, you know, a country that was known to be one of the success stories in West Africa, and it's a pity that it's being destroyed by this unrest.
I was speaking to Antonio Cabral of the Catholic Development Agency, CAFOD.